Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Not really.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. Oh, no, not that comfortable. Put your pants back on. You know, already this show's getting out of hand and I haven't even started it yet. How you doing? You looking good today. What, you wash your hair last night? Big difference. Welcome to the program. How are you? You know my name. It's in the title of the damn thing. There's no way I can get out of this. My name's in it. My title's in it. I have to do a decent job for you, so I'm going to start in a couple hours. I mean, right now. Enough theme music. Thank you so much. How are you? Good to be with you. You are looking good. I'll start by complimenting you to bring you into my camp. That way you'll love me. I've said on previous shows, we love people that compliment us all the time. We want to be around those people. Whether they're being phony or honest, it doesn't matter. It's how they make you feel. It's all about you. And you know what? It kind of is. No, Ron. See, now I'm talking to somebody else. No, Ron, it's not all about you. That's selfish. It kind of is, though, really. But as it is all about you, you're supposed to also be kind and respectful and loving to other people, because that's about you as well. But it is all about you. Your parents did not give birth to somebody else. They gave birth to you. It was you, not somebody else. So, you know, there's an element of selfishness involved here. And as you know, as we've said on the show before, when you do something nice for somebody, you're making that person happy, but you're really kind of making yourself feel fulfilled. It's really for you. But that's okay, because it's a win-win. You know, the win-win thing, where it's good for them and it's good for you too. It's a win-win. We're getting a little sick of the lose-lose stuff, aren't we? Huh? Come on, get out of here. Anyway, fine. Well, somebody that I know said, "Hey, Ron, what are you doing this weekend?" And I, you know, I'm scared to say nothing, because then you leave yourself open for something, and then they mention something, and you don't want to do it, but now you're stuck because you're not doing anything anyway. Oh, come on, you're not doing anything anyway. No. You start with an excuse. Well, I'm really, really busy this weekend, but what is it? And then if it's something you want to do, you can say, well, I think I can shift some things around. You know, but don't start with, yeah, I'm open, whatever you want to throw at my face, go on, I got nothing. Don't do that. It's not a good idea. It's bad planning on your part. So this acquaintance says, hey, I've got an extra ticket to Blue Man Group. And I said, and what does that have to do with me? Do you want to go? Now, see, if you say, I've got nothing to do this weekend, now you got to try to get out of something that you're not even into yet. No, I can't go. I'm polishing my shoes. I can't make it. Because I don't want to go to Blue Man Group. I went there once. Do you have a Blue Mare? Do you have a Blue Man Group where you live? It's usually in the theater district, right next to the strip club. And I went like 15 years ago. That's how long the show's been hanging around. Grown-up people who paint their faces blue and make a mess on the stage, and then you're supposed to pay money for that and think that that's wonderful. I don't understand the Blue Man Group. And by the way, I think that's a little racist. What about all the blue people on the planet? How do they feel when you make fun of them like that? I also don't want to see people banging on drums and unrolling toilet paper. Is this a joke or something? Is this some type of social experiment to see just how gullible the public can be? I thought that experiment was Trump. How gullible can the public be? Let's put a guy named Trump in place and just see how gullible they can be. How much snake oil we can sell them. How much crap they can believe if they're brainwashed into things, to believing things that don't even exist. Let's do that social experiment. Okay, enough with the experiment. So Blue Man Group, no, I'm not going. I am not going. Now, if it was something like Purple Man Group, I might consider it. But to make fun of the Smurfs, not in my lifetime. No. I don't play those games. All right. What I wanted to talk about today was something that's not that. I live in Massachusetts. Not gloating. I'm not proud of it. I don't know. This is where I ended up. And there are other states in this great country of ours that are considering making a change on one of their ballot questions that is coming up in November. And it's one of those state ballot question things, and you can change the laws in your state if you vote accordingly. Here's what they want to do, and this is for multiple states within this country this time around. As you know, there's a minimum wage. In many states, that's actually the law. You have to pay them at least that. I think it's around $15. I don't know. I don't keep up on this stuff. I got better things to do, like go to Blue Man Group. It's around $15. The restaurant industry, it's an exception because they work on tips. The wait staff, the bartenders, that kind of people's working in restaurants, they rely on tips. That's the setup there. So there you can pay them only like $6 an hour, and that's okay because they make a lot in tips. So apparently the normal public, the patrons say, oh, no, $6 an hour, no one should get that. Everybody must make $15 an hour. And that's the thing, because the general public believes that, oh, $6 an hour, that's horrible. Even if you're making tips on top of that, that's just cruel. Then, so the question is, should the restaurant industry, those that serve, should they have to get $15 an hour and bump them up to minimum wage? And, you think you're doing them a favor, but apparently you're not. Because I've talked to many people in that service area, and almost unanimously they say, no, leave it alone. We make a lot of money in tips. We're good with that. We're good. It's fine. When they raise the prices of the food in the restaurants, we get tipped even more because they tip off the final amount on the bill. So we're good. Leave us alone. Get the hell out of our face. Stop trying to change our lives. We're not picketing. We're good. Leave it alone. But the general public says, well, you think you're good, but you're not. You must make the $15 an hour like everybody else. And now here's a concern of the wait staff and the workers in a restaurant. Well, if you're going to do that, then in order to pay us the money of the $15 an hour, the restaurants will have to raise their prices. And the restaurant industry, by the way, has the thinnest margins of profit of almost every industry. they some of them do very well, but it's not as well as other businesses. There's overhead, brick and mortar, the whole bit, the staff, the food, the thing, utilities, the thing. There's like tons of things dealing with a restaurant. So pretty much it's been like, don't touch them, leave them alone. It's very different. Now, is there a fear that if the prices go up, because restaurants will start having to do that, that people will not be tipping anymore if they know that the employees are getting more money? Well, this has nothing to do with the tipping. Anybody can still tip in a restaurant. But the wait staff is concerned that people won't tip as much anymore because the prices went up a lot, or will go up a lot. So there's a lot of struggling going back and forth. Let me give you the bottom line on this whole issue, because it's probably, it could appear on your state ballot, and I know you need me to guide you, because who else is going to do that? Those that work in the restaurant want you to leave them the hell alone. They're fine the way it is. Everything's good. Shut up. It's the general public that is not working in the restaurant that is making these that wants to make these changes. And of course, we're going to money fair salaries. Why should that industry not be going along with the other industry? Bottom line, leave them alone. When the restaurant workers someday go out and strike, or if that's the case, they'll take care of themselves. Stop trying to impose the laws upon them, because they unanimously almost say, leave us alone. Things are working fine the way they are. Just shut up. So, I don't know. You can do your own research on it. You know, when you vote, like, oh God, voting is going to be so paramount this particular year for so many reasons. Do I even have to get into it? Just all I'm asking you and your little buddies and your little friends and your little enclaves of people, just vote, but vote not emotionally and not stupidly. Look into things a little bit. You got the fucking Google. I mean, you got the damn Google machine. Look things up, but not from one source. You know, look at the whole spectrum of sources and be intelligent, because your vote is like what this is supposed to be all about. Don't say, well, I'm not voting, I'm not happy with anybody. Okay, but when you don't vote, then you're kind of like just letting things happen, and then I know you're going to complain later down the road, and I'll have to say to you, did you vote? And you'll have to say no, because you're honest, and I'll have to say, well, then shut up, because you have nothing to say, because you didn't do anything about it. The problem with this country, and it's not a problem in other countries, it's kind of only a problem here, is we're just apathetic. We just figure, nah, let them do it. I'm lazy as hell. I don't care. I've told you before in this show, I get this all the time because, you know, I'm in this business. I have been for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades. So I'm into what's happening, which is not a good thing. They say, Ron, what's going on in the world? And I don't know what to say to that. It's my only thought is like, why are you asking me? Why can't you find out for yourself? Don't get it from one source. That's not good enough anymore. Find out yourself. You'll be amazed what's going on in the world. You'll be astounded. But even more important than that, as important as what's going on in the world is, what's going on in your country? What's happening? That's important, because that's your life. We live by rules and regulations, and they change these things all the time. And if you just sit there and shut up and don't even look into it, your apathy is just going to be like, All right, I'll just sit here and you can dump all the crap on my head that you wish because I don't care. Do you have a family? Do you have children? Do you have a job? Do you live? You must have an opinion on some things. And don't do it like, well, you know, I'm not rich, so the government is crap. Let me tell you something about the government. A good democratic government just lets things be. They kind of keep, you know, tabs on things and kind of steer the country. They kind of take care of your image in the world. But as far as this country's concerned, it's the businesses that run this country. Your high food prices, your high cost of everything, that's your businesses doing that. The high inflation rates, that's your businesses doing that. The interest rates, that's the government. But you know why the government's doing that? To save a recession and a depression. Have you been through one of those? They ain't fun. So they try to control that. It hurts a little bit. You know, when you get a wound, you got to fix the wound. But it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to be black and blue for a while as you heal after the operation. That's what that is. It's an operation to make things good. And it hurts for a while until it heals. That's what the interest rates are. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a story. I'm a little bit older than you are, or not. Those are the two choices. The first home that I bought, way back, the interest rate on my mortgage was 12.5%. Excuse me? 12.5%? Yes. That's what it was. And that was normal. The reason that we went down to zero was the COVID thing, because there was no economy. So we had to fix that. And so you got used to like 0% or 1% or 3%. You got used to that for a long time. And it was like that a bit before, but not that low. When I was growing up, it was 14%, 12.5%, that kind of thing. So don't come crying on my shoulder, you little asshole. I mean, this is not so bad. And rates are going back to where you're almost used to. So you got to know your history. You've got to use your intelligence. You can't just stand there right now and have the rain fall on your head and say, it's raining and it's always going to rain. No, it's not. It's going to get sunny someday and it's going to be a storm here and there. And let me tell you something else, my friends, or my acquaintances. This country, it's doing better than others. Ron, what are you talking about? Inflation in other countries? Take a look. Do a little studying. This country's pretty well off right now. Well, I don't feel well off. I can't even afford food. God. The economy of other countries struggling worse here than there. Worse there than here. One of those two. It's a global thing. See, we're in a global economy thing. You can't shut yourself off and just live in a box anymore. No. It's a world economy, whether you like it or not. And if you shut yourself off from it, you shoot yourself in the foot. Because we have to sell goods to other countries to survive. You know that. Don't you know that? Do you know that? All right, I don't want to pontificate any longer. All I'm telling you is, be aware of what's going on. Don't make emotional decisions. Make intelligent decisions. Start paying attention a little bit. Don't act upon what one person tells you. Don't act upon what I just told you. Check it out yourself. You know, there used to be a time where when people check things out for themselves before they even had social media and computers. They checked things out first before they went anywhere with any information. But with our lazy society, oh, did you hear? Bob told me that this is true. Well, then it must be true. Who's Bob? All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my guest. But first, there's this.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, oh, look at the time? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Vicky Sanchez joins us now. She's a doctor and assistant professor in the department of a word that I can't say.
It's otolaryngology. It is a mouthful, but it's related to the ear, nose, and throat.
Okay. Wow, Vicky, that must be a large business card to fit that on there. But yeah, congratulations for what you do. As a matter of fact, you're going to help us out today in understanding about how hearing can play a part in our brains. And that's a connection that I guess we don't make.
Yeah, that's correct. So I studied the ear-brain connection and how we actually hear with our brains and not just with our ears. And one of the studies I've been working on is looking at the effect of hearing intervention on cognitive decline.
Wow.
Can I tell you more about it?
Please.
Okay, so this study is called the ACHIEVE study, and it's the first large-scale, long-term, randomized controlled trial that studied the effect of hearing intervention with the use of hearing aids on brain health. And so far, it's the highest quality of evidence we have, and we found that treating hearing loss in older adults can potentially maintain thinking and memory abilities as they age.
Is that because the brain is working harder or less hard?
Well, there's a couple different hypotheses. We're still trying to figure out exactly the connection. But what we think might be happening is that hearing loss can cause cognitive load, just like you were describing, making it very hard for someone to hear, taking more concentration. It also is known that hearing loss can actually change brain structure and function. And lastly, hearing loss causes people to decline from social settings, and less social activities and more isolation is also very bad for the brain. So essentially, all those things could be helped with hearing intervention, such as hearing aids.
Wow. Let's talk about age-related. Is this specifically of concern of one of a senior, or can this happen at any age?
You know, hearing loss can happen at any age, but we do see more prevalence of hearing loss as we get into our older age. About two-thirds of individuals 70 years and older have a debilitating hearing loss, but only about 20% of them might actually use hearing aids or something to help with their hearing. So definitely it's focused on those individuals who are older, who have hearing loss, who could benefit potentially the most from hearing intervention.
Okay. And we're not talking about just not paying attention to what somebody is saying, which I've been doing all my life. We're talking about the inability to actually hear it physically. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're not talking about selective attention mm-hmm. or not paying attention. We're talking about the clarity of sound mm-hmm. as it's processed in the ear and how that signal then makes its way to the brain to be processed and understood.
You know, when I go for my annual checkup, they check everything, but they don't check my hearing. And is that something that I should start having be part of an annual thing, or is it something I would just have to recognize and then pay attention to it?
Well, it doesn't sound like they're checking everything then. So absolutely, mm-hmm. we definitely recommend annual hearing evaluation. Oh. It's actually part of the Medicare wellness checkup is to inquire about hearing. So we do want to promote checking your hearing as much as you can, especially if you have any concerns.
And this would be by an audiologist, a specialist. In other words, as a primary care physician, do they have any way of checking that, or would they refer you to that specialist?
Yeah, great question. So sometimes primary care offices do have screeners or abilities to do quick check, and that's wonderful. And then they can refer on if they do think there is a concern. If they don't have that ability in their primary care office, then going straight into an audiologist or an ear, nose, and throat office would be the best bet to get a full evaluation.
Okay. All right. I've done interviews on the subject before, and I am astounded continually about how technology has changed hearing aids like totally completely, because they used to be gigantic things that would go around your ear, and now you don't even know you have one. I mean, that's amazing to me.
It is amazing. I mean, our hearing aids are like supercomputers, micro supercomputers, mm-hmm. because they are so small. They really not only make sounds more accessible to people, but also with their digital processing allows the connections to the other things you may want to hear, mm-hmm. such as televisions or your cell phones. They truly are wonderful technology that is continuously improving.
So if you recognize that you might have a hearing loss to some degree, does the study actually intimate that your brain function could be improved accordingly?
So that's a good question. We didn't study that specifically. So our goal of our trial was to look at decline or change in cognition over a 3-year time period. Mm-hmm. There has been other studies, however, that have looked at short-term benefits and other benefits of hearing aids and hearing interventions mm-hmm. on your ability to think or to have better memory, and those all show that with improved sound to your ears, mm-hmm. you're going to do much better on a lot of those tasks.
Okay, I guess it couldn't hurt would be the logical result of that, as far as your brain's concerned.
Absolutely. That's one thing that's great about hearing aids is there's so low risk. There's mm-hmm. essentially no risk, but just better hearing. Unlike some of the other medications that might be out there or other things that could be available, sometimes they come with higher risk and adverse events.
Okay, so Medicare does cover this, so one should go to their primary care location at the time of their annual physical, which people should have no matter what age you are, and mention this, and they can take care of that. So but we have to ask sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes you have to be an advocate for yourself.
Yes.
But it should be something that is done more regularly. Medicare does cover the evaluations. Unfortunately, most of the time they do not cover any hearing aids or technological solutions.
Okay. And the last thing I want to talk about was ear damage, because when I was growing up, I used to go to concerts and they were loud, and then I couldn't hear for at least a day afterwards. But then I get my hearing back, and people are saying, hey, when you get older, that's going to really, that things are happening. You don't realize it now, but when you get older, that things are happening. And now this present generation has stuff shoved in their ears 24 hours a day. So we're not out of the woods on that, are we?
No, we're not. So there is quite a bit of evidence that's growing that the use of loud headphones and noise mm-hmm. directly in the ears might have a really negative effect on our ears. Yeah. It's not just one-time concerts. It's happening more regularly. Mm-hmm. And there's something called a time-intensity trade-off. The longer that you are in a loud environment, the more damaging it can be for your ears. Yeah. So we really do need to protect our ears much better.
Yes, yes. And as I said, things catch up with you later on in life that you think, oh, I got through that, but now it caught up with you. How do we get more information?
Sure. More information about the Achieve study is found on achievestudy.org. And also great information of connecting the hearing and brain can be found on phonak.com/cognition.
Okay. Bottom line, get your hearing checked, right?
Absolutely.
Great. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.